We're doing the Lord's Prayer, and this is our third week in specifically in the Lord's Prayer. I think this is kind of our fourth week on prayer. We spent the first week kind of introducing the idea of prayer, and then we've done 3 weeks in the Lord's Prayer. So in just a minute, we're going to get over there to Matthew chapter 6 and read a couple of verses. Before we get to that, though, I wanted to say that tonight we're going to be talking about God's will. Like, probably not in this group, but the topic of God's will can be somewhat controversial in some groups of people. And so I just wanted to preface that tonight and say that if I say something that is a little controversial or maybe you don't agree with, that's okay, because it's kind of one of these topics where it's like we could all kind of have different, slightly different opinions on it, and okay, that's okay, no big deal. It's not one of those gospel essential things, okay? So I just wanted to get that out of the way. Probably won't happen in this group, but like in a room full of like college or seminary students, it would happen. Like Mark, right? Like talking about God's will in a college, you're gonna get some disagreement. But so anyways, I just wanted to say that. So we're in week 3 of 3, looking at what I call God's prayer list. And last week here, we looked at the first part of verse 10, which was, your kingdom come. Whose kingdom? The Father's kingdom. So let's turn to Matthew 6, if you're not already there, and let's read this prayer a little bit together. So the disciples, it doesn't really say it here, but in Luke, it says his disciples came up and said, hey, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And this is Jesus' response. He says, therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then some versions will say, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And it doesn't say it here in this translation, but we'll probably talk about that a little bit, about number one, why it doesn't say it in all translations, but also we're actually going to talk about that part when we get to there in a few weeks. So this is week 3 of 3. So we're going to do, make sure I got it on here. Yeah, it should be on. Okay, so week 3 of 3 of looking at God's prayer list. Okay, I said last week that we can kind of divide the Lord's Prayer up into two halves. The first half is God's prayer list. The second part of it is sort of like our prayer list, like the thing. So in other words, the first part is we're asking God, what do you want from us? Like, what do you want us to pray for? And then the second part is like, God, now we're asking you to give us certain things. Okay, does that make sense? So we're in week 3 of 3. So far we've looked at the first thing on God's prayer list was, God, we want your name to be honored as holy. Hallowed be your name in the old language. Hallowed be your name. God, we want to glorify and honor you. The second thing on God's list we talked about last week was, Father, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. And then today, we're going to talk about the third thing on God's list, and that is that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm going to ask us a question. First of all, who wants God's will for your life? Who of you want God's will for your life? Kind of some people are like, I'm scared to raise. Yeah, I know. Yeah, rephrase the question. Is that what you say? I think if we sort of thought about it for a minute, I bet you everyone would be like, yes, we want God's will. We want to know, God, what you want from our lives. And but that's kind of a loaded question, isn't it? Because when I asked that question, maybe the hesitancy came because you're like, what do you mean by that? Like, what do you mean about God's will? What part of God's will are you talking about? And I think that's kind of where some of the confusion comes in sometimes when we're talking about God's will. I'm one of those people, and I'll just get the, you know, the elephant out of the room right now. I'm one of those people that find the idea of God's will very comforting. Like, I'm one of those types of people that I'm super glad that God has a absolute sovereign, perfect plan for my life. Like, I'm one that I'm like, I love it. I find it comforting that somebody greater than me knows better than me how my life should be lived. Like I'm okay with that. In fact, I'm super grateful for that. Now, I know there's people, though, out there, believers, that walk with the Lord that are like, well, it makes them a little uncomfortable when you're talking about the complete sovereign will of God. They're like, wait a minute, what about, like, the choices that I make? What, like, don't I have any say in how my life's going to be? And that, I think that's where a little bit of that controversy comes in, which we're going to, I'm going to sidestep and totally avoid that tonight, so we don't have to. But I kind of like the idea that that not only does God have this plan, from Jesus' own mouth tonight, we get to participate in God's plan. How do we get to participate in that? Well, we just read it. Your will be done. It's something that we talk to God about. Your will be done. We want that, and so we participate in God's will. To pray God's will to be done, it means that God has purpose. God has an opinion. That's kind of what that word will means. It means an opinion. It means a thought. It means desires. God has all those things, and He has them for each and every person's life individually. So has it occurred to you, as you even sit here right now, that God has an opinion on whatever that kind of super pressing matter is that's on your life right now? Whatever, like, you're concerned about, or whatever you're worried about, or whatever you're joyful about, God has an opinion on that for you right now tonight. Do we realize that God has a purpose for everything that's going on in the world right now? Some of us have in the last several months, our world has been flipped upside down in some ways. You know, we're meeting outside on a Sunday night, and so it's a little bit different, obviously. But God has a purpose for what's going on in our world right now, and God's desires for your life are perfect. The next steps you're going to take in life are perfect in God's eyes. And I guess what I'm saying is, I, for one, I like that. I like that about God. I like the fact that He's got a purpose, and He has desires, and He has an opinion about my life. When you ask somebody else for their opinion, what are you doing? Like, you're like, hey, I came up with this idea, and you explain the idea to somebody, and like, what do you think about that idea? What are you doing? What is that other, how are you, the other person, how are they going to respond to you typically? Like, if I were to do that, Didis, I got this idea, what do you think about it? Tell me your thoughts on my idea. Like, is that honoring or dishonoring to you, for me to ask your opinion about my idea? Honoring, I would think so. I mean, it's like I value, you've got an opinion, I value it, or whatever. And I think that when we come to God's will, for us to pray, your will be done, it's honoring to God for us to ask Him. Now, it's true, God's sovereign. God knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. And it's also true, we mentioned this last week, that when we pray, stuff happens. Like, I don't know if I go as far as to say it changes the will of God, but it changes circumstances of our lives. And don't ask me how. I can't explain it, but it happens that way. God has a plan, and yet when we pray, things happen. And that's what Jesus is teaching us to do when He says, your will be done. When we are to pray, Father, your will be done, Jesus requests that we acknowledge that God has a will. We don't tell God what His will should be, right? We don't say, God, this is what you should do. That's not what Jesus is saying. We don't tell God what to do, but we're asking that God's will be done in our lives. This is what I believe. Long before any of us were around, long before any human being, in fact, was around, long before Adam and Eve were in the garden, long before there was a star in the universe, God had a plan. God had a plan, and it's one of those things like how do we can't even like comprehend that, but I think it's Psalm 90 or 91 where it says, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. It's like God has always been there, and He always will be there, and He's always had this plan. He's always had this will, and it blows our minds. But listen to another verse, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. He says, "I declare the end from the beginning, and from long ago what is not yet done, saying, my plan will take place, and I will do all my will." That's what the Lord says. God has a plan, and He has a will, and we are to pray that it will come to pass. So, with that in our minds, what does it mean, your will be done? I think the will of God can be understood in two general ways. Now, there's a lot of implications to both of these. There's a lot more detail that we could go into. But just generally speaking, the will of God can be divided into two big categories. Okay, here they are. One is the revealed will of God. And the second one is the not yet revealed will of God. You can call it the secret will of God, which is what I call it in the notes. You can call it the hidden will of God. Or you can call it the not yet revealed will of God, although that's a mouthful. So the revealed will of God and the secret will of God. Okay, that's generally speaking what we're going to be talking about tonight. And then after we talk about those two things, we're going to talk about how can we pray the Lord's, this part of the Lord's Prayer, your will be done, and actually mean it. All right? Because we are, it's really interesting. We are preaching, we're teaching on prayer, but at the end of the day, like, we don't want to just teach on prayer. We want to, what? We want to learn how to pray, right? That's why Jesus taught it. Like, we don't want just to fill our heads with more knowledge about prayer. We want to actually do what Jesus is telling us. So if we don't ever get to that, then you're kind of just wasting our time. Okay, so first of all, the revealed will of God. Now, simply put, the revealed will of God is the Bible. Okay, just simply put. There's a little bit more to it than that, but we're just going to stick with that for tonight. Do you want to know God's will? I asked you that a minute ago. A lot of you raised your hand. Do you want to know God's will? Read the Bible. Because in the Bible is His revealed will. It's revealed because what? We all have access to it. We can know it. We can turn to chapter and verse, and we can read about God's will. That's why it's revealed. He's already revealed it. It's already made known. Probably the best, most God-honoring way to seek out God's will is to read the Scripture. It means that, you know, we care enough about God that we want to read what He wrote. And I've said this before, but it's like 23 years of being a pastor now, and I've had many, many conversations with people where I just take for granted that they know something. Like, people that have been Christians for a long time take for granted they know something, and like, what are you talking about? Like I'm just, it concerns me a little bit as a pastor, and even as a believer, that more Christians are not reading the Bible. It's a simple, easy thing to do. God said, here, this is what, you want to know how to live your life? Here's a whole book of stuff. Know it. Read it. Understand it. Study it. Live it out. Apply it. And yet, there's people that just don't take advantage of that. Now, of course, with that said, not everything about God is in the Bible. Okay? You know, of course not. There's no way that this one little book could contain the vastness of who God is. In fact, I often refer to this verse at the very end of the Gospel of John. It says, if everything that Jesus said and did was written down, like the world couldn't contain the volumes, right? And so we know that this book is not everything about God, but what we do know is that the Bible is some very, very important stuff that God wants us to know. And here's kind of a thing. We're probably going to get to know God's will in proportion to how much we read the Bible. It's probably just one of those facts of Christianity. We don't read the Bible just to gain knowledge, like Pharisaical knowledge about God. It's not like we just want to read and read and read so that we can know facts about who God is, or we can win an argument or a debate. That's not why we read the Bible. We read the Bible to get to know the author of the Bible, the one who wrote it. That's why we read it. We want to get to know him. And so he's given us this piece of his heart. He says, here, this is all about me. And so we need to take advantage of that. That's all I'm saying. I think there's a lot of people that kind of want a shortcut to God's will because the Bible is sometimes hard to read. It's hard to find time to do it. Maybe parts of it are confusing and hard to understand, which is true. It can be overwhelming if you're like, well, I'm not even a really good reader. It would take me, you know, years and years and years to read through this. And, you know, all those things are valid, but at the same time, you know, they're all just kind of excuses, really. If we want to get to know God, we need to start by reading his revealed will, which is the scripture. And the more we read it, the more we're going to know him, the more we're going to know his heart, and the more we're going to know his will when we spend time with him by reading the Bible. And when we do it consistently, when we do it every single day, when we do it maybe more than once a day, if we do the Daniel reading plan, where we do it three times a day, or whatever works for you, find some time, though, every day to connect with God. You know, there's all sorts of analogies I could plug in right here, right? It's like very few of us spend a whole day without eating food, right? I mean, sometimes we do a fast or whatever for a specific purpose, but most of the time, every single day, we eat, and I guarantee most of us, multiple times a day we're eating, right? And you know, that's okay. That's good. It's the right thing to do. It's healthy for our bodies. And, you know, here the analogy is obvious, right? But yet then the Bible just kind of sits, and we're not taking care of maybe another part of our body, which is our inside, our soul, our spirit, which also needs to be fed. And a great way, not the only way, but a great way we can feed our inside is through reading the Bible and prayer, and those two things really go together. Okay, I just wanted to read a few verses, okay, that you can write these down or listen to them or turn to them, whatever you want to do. I'm going to read a few verses about some of the ways that the Bible confirms God's will for your life and my life, our lives. So do you want to know God's will? We all raise our hand. Let me give you several answers to that question. Okay, here we go. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I put these in my notes just so I wouldn't have to flip all the way through them. And good thing, because it's kind of windy up here. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age or to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good and pleasing and perfect, what? Will of God. You want to know God's will? It means not being conformed, sucked in to this age, It's like the illustration, like when you make Jell-O, right? Jell-O doesn't have any shape by itself. Right? You have to put Jell-O into something in order for it to harden, right? Then you can take it out. But Jell-O doesn't have its own form. Jell-O only has the form in which it was put into, the mold, right? And that's what this is talking about. If we just put ourselves into the world, we're going to be conformed into the image of the world. So we're going to think like the world, and we're going to talk like the world, and we're going to respond like the world. But if we put ourselves into the mold, which is God, then we're going to think and act and respond like God. So which one do you want to think and act and respond? You want to respond like the world, or you want to respond like God? And so that's a question you can think about. Here's another one. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You guys like that one? That's a hard one right there. Give thanks in everything. Yikes. That's a hard one. But it's right there. It's right there. Just one chapter before that, 1 Thessalonians 4 says, for this is God's will, your sanctification, that you keep away from sexual immorality, that each of you knows how to control his or her own body in holiness and honor. Here's another one, 1 Peter 2. And some of you are not going to like this one, just warn you. Submit to every human authority because of the Lord. Uh-oh. Whether to the emperor, or in our case, the president, as the supreme authority, or to, even worse, governors, as those sent out by him to punish those who do what is evil and to praise those who do what is good. Here, listen. For it is God's will that you silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. Just let that one speak for itself. Ephesians 5:16. It says, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. That's a mouthful. So do we want to know what the Lord's will is for us right now as we sit here? I can tell you this with 100% certainty, that the will of God right now at this moment is to worship Him, give thanks in everything, stay pure in your body and mind, submit to the authority by doing good, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? It's because God has revealed it to me and to you. So that's the first way that we can describe the will of God, the revealed will of God. There's a second way, though, that we can talk about the will of God, and that's the not yet revealed will, the secret will or the hidden will of God. And there's many, 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 ironically, Bible passages that talk about the secret will of God. So, yeah, I get the irony there. But listen, the secret will of God refers to just exactly what you think, the details that God has not yet revealed. It really appeals to what I said a minute ago, which is the infinite wisdom of God, the vastness of the wisdom of God that cannot just be contained in one little book. Paul said it like this in Romans 11:33. He said, "Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand His decisions and His ways." And by impossible, He doesn't mean we can't do it. By impossible, He means there's just so much of it. How could we ever know everything that God has to teach us? And in Isaiah 55, God says this. He says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. The secret will of God includes things that affect all people. Why don't you guys tell me one thing, the secret will of God that affects every human being. What would be an example of that? Put you on the spot here. Anybody? Yeah, okay, who said that? Yeah, the second coming of Christ. It says no one knows the hour of the day, not even the Son knows it, right? Only the Father. Okay, that's a perfect example, the secret will of God. Another one, anybody? When will COVID go away? That's right. Okay? No, that's the truth. That's the truth. God knows that. Do you believe God knows that? Yeah. God knows it. And he may or may not choose to reveal that to us. He may just take it away someday. We don't know. Good. That's a good example. What's another one? Anybody else have one? Pop in your head. Well, that's... What did I say? It's impossible to understand that. Oh, man. The Trinity. Yeah. Trinity. Yeah. How much longer will I live? Right? Yeah. 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 That's right. What about who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved? What about when's the Holy Spirit going to bring a revival into this, into our lives or into our community? So those are some examples of the secret will of God, the not yet revealed will that applies to everybody. Now, the secret will of God, though, also applies to us individually as people. And in other words, God's got a whole, a whole bucket full of will that's just got Mark Wheeler's name on it. And one, he's got a bucket for everybody, right? He knows there's a whole bunch of stuff that only God knows about our lives individually. And what would be some examples of that for you guys even right now as you sit here? What questions do you have for God and God's will that would be for your life? How long are you going to live? Good example, yeah. What's another one for you?
Why is Mark going to Papua New Guinea?
Okay. And when? Yeah. Okay, good. But that was for Mark. That one's for you, Bill. All right, here's some other ones, you guys. What about, who am I going to marry? Maybe, if you're not married yet, there's a handful of you. Where am I going to go to college if maybe that's on the horizon for you? Or what's my career going to be? Or should I change careers? Or are my kids going to get saved someday? We go on and on and on and on and on. Right now we got the ball rolling. Now you're like, oh yeah, now I know all these things. Maybe you got some health issue and you're like, when is God ever going to take this health issue away from me? Or maybe you got a financial issue. How am I going to pay my bills? Or whatever it is for you, God's got this whole bunch of not yet revealed will that he has specifically for each of our lives. And so here's the question, how do we get to know the secret will of God, right? We know how to get to know the revealed will of God. We just got to open it up and read it. But how do we get to know the secret will of God? And here's how I would respond to that question. I think this is why 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14 have a whole slew of spiritual gifts listed. In among them include prophecies and prophets. That's part of how we get to know God's will. He might reveal it to a prophet, and that prophet might reveal it to you. That would be one way. Another way would be through a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. The Holy Spirit might reveal that, maybe personally to you or through another individual, might give a word to somebody and they might pass that on to you, or he might give it directly to you. Another way that he might do that or is through the counsel of another believer. You're talking to somebody, you're praying, hey, can you pray for me? And through prayer or through a conversation, something gets revealed to either you or to yourself or to the other person for you. What about like Elijah? Remember Elijah, maybe arguably the greatest prophet that ever lived, and he just had that big showdown with all the prophets of Baal, right? And like the one true God called fire down from heaven and consumed all the sacrifice when all the other like hundreds of prophets of Baal couldn't do anything. Do you remember that story? I just read it in 1 Kings. And I love it. So right after that, though, he gets scared because Jezebel's trying to get him. And he's like, oh, no, like this God that just called fire down from heaven. And all of a sudden he's scared, you know, of this lady. And she must have been really bad. And so he runs away and he hides and he's hiding. And God comes to him and he's like, he says he's up on this cliff, I think, right in this cave. He says, go outside the cave. And then I can't remember the order or the exact words, but like this big like earthquake comes, right? But it says God wasn't in the earthquake. And like a big like storm comes, and no, God wasn't in the storm. But then, you remember what happened? Like the still small voice comes. Like that still small voice, which has to be the Holy Spirit. And a light. And then it says, but the Lord was in. He was in the still small voice. Have any of you ever experienced that? The still small voice of the Holy Spirit? I have. I think that's probably the number one way, other than the scripture, that God speaks to me, through that still small voice. And learning to recognize His voice above my own thoughts, or learning to recognize His voice above like the voice of maybe some demons or something like that, that can be tricky, but we can do it. We can learn how to do that. It takes practice. I went off script there. Sorry, it's starting to get dark. We better wrap this thing up. So the secret will of God. Both of these types of wills that we're talking about are good. Revealed will is good. The secret will is good. I think the mistake that some people make is to only pursue one and ignore the other. So some people will go, like, all I need is the Bible. Like, I don't need, like, this is all I need. Okay, I don't need anything else. And so they ignore everything wrapped up in that thing called the secret will of God. They just ignore it. And so you can get into heaven that way, but I think you miss a bunch of stuff that God wants to give you. But the other side of that's true too. You can be like, I just want the supernatural. You know, I want the quick way. I want like the Holy Spirit. I want the prophecies and the word of knowledge, but you never open the Bible. Both of those are wrong. We need both working together, and then we'll be able to accurately pray as Jesus teaches us to pray, your will be done. Okay, so here we go. I'll just cut right to the end here. How do we pray, your will be done, like Jesus is telling us to, and really mean it? How can we do it? Well, I don't have all the answers, certainly, I don't. But let me give us just a few things. When we pray, your will be done, it means, first of all, that we're accepting that God has a will for our lives. It means that we approve of what God has. We approve of His will. We honor Him by accepting His opinion, His purpose for our lives. Now, it doesn't mean that we like always 100% are thrilled with everything He tells us to do, right? I mean, is that true? Like, has God ever told you something? You're like, oh man, I don't want to do that. And yet you know it's God's will. And yet, like, maybe you're like, I'm not going to do it. Or you do it reluctantly, whatever. So it doesn't mean that we all always have to be absolutely thrilled. But what it does mean is that we understand God has a will and we submit to it. At the heart of praying, your will be done, is really, there's a reality that deep down we want what God wants. Do you remember when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane? The very night He was going to be arrested, the next day He was going to go hang on a cross. And He's in the garden, and remember, He kneels down, and it says that He's praying so hard that like His sweat is becoming like drops of blood. And three times he prays, Father, if possible, take this cup away from me. You know what that cup he was referring to? The wrath of God. The fact that he was going, not the fact necessarily he was just going to go to the cross, but the fact that he was going to go on the cross and all the wrath of God was going to get poured out on the sinless one. That's what he was asking. If there's any other way, take it away. But then, you know, remember what he says at the end? He's like, but not what I want, but what you want. Your will be done. And I think for us, when Jesus, of course, Jesus, when he writes this, or when he speaks this in the Sermon on the Mount, it's years, maybe a couple of years before he goes to the cross, but I think he already has that in mind. He set the example for us that that we're not always thrilled with God's will, but we learn to submit to his will, even though it's hard. We say, yeah, Father, do it, and your will be done. Surrender our rights and our plans and our dreams even to the Father. We trust that his plans are better than anything that we could come up with on our own, is what we're really saying here. Your will be done. Means that we have that kind of relationship with God that we know his revealed will so well that we definitely get a general idea of how he wants us to respond in every circumstance and situation. But it also means that we are walking in the Spirit well enough so that when he gives us a little bit of more specific direction, we're able to hear it and recognize it and go with it and trust him in it and have an intimacy with the Spirit and learn to hear his voice. And so if we ever get a prophecy or a word of knowledge, we can discern that it's really God's will and it's not just like something made up, or it's not just something from the enemy, but we know it's really from the Lord. That comes with intimacy with the Holy Spirit and a deep knowledge of the Scripture. I think it kind of deep down in the bottom, to pray your will be done means that, look, I can't pray your will be done for the entire world. I can't even pray it for each of you. I can only pray it for me. It's a personal thing. And you can only pray it for yourself. It doesn't mean that we can't intercede and pray for other people. That's not what I'm saying. But at the end of the day, God will reveal his will to us. And that's a promise that he gives us. We learn to love and honor God above and beyond anything else. And we learn to kind of bow before his glory and his majesty. We live in the perfect awareness of his majestic will, whether it's his revealed will or it's his secret will. And we learn to get to know him as both our Savior and our friend. And yet, at the same time, we learn to humble ourselves because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when we live like this, and when we draw closer to him like this, he's going to reveal more and more and more of himself to us. And I think this is ultimately the meaning of your will be done, that we know his power and his love and his mercy and his grace, and we become vessels of his holy presence. And we always know and acknowledge that he wants the best for us. And his best is pretty great, right? So I went all the way back to the beginning, and I said that knowing that God has a will is super comforting to me. I'm wondering where you're at with it. This is what I would encourage you to do. It, you know, if if the Spirit is doing something right now in you that, you know, maybe you weren't expecting Him to do, I would encourage you to spend some time with Him and learn to hear and recognize His voice, both when you read the Scripture, don't just read it like a textbook, read it like you're reading the heart of God, and also to listen and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in your life. And then we will be able to get to know the will of God, and we will learn to be able to pray better, "Your will be done," in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, including COVID-19. Let's pray. God, we just thank You. We just thank You in Jesus' name. We start by praying Jesus' name. It's the name above all names. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus, yet You're our friend. You're a friend of sinners. And each one of us, boy, we're sinners sometimes. And yet You saved us, and we acknowledge Your goodness and Your grace and mercy and Your forgiveness and Your love. And we acknowledge that not only in a general sense, but we acknowledge that we need it every minute of every day. And we acknowledge that there's times where we just really don't understand what You want to do or even why You're doing something in our lives. And it's during those times where we really have to pray, "Your will be done. Your will be done. Not our will. Your will be done." And that's hard, to be honest, God, sometimes. So help us. We'd ask You to send Your Spirit fresh and anew in our lives tonight, that we would be able to pray, "Your will be done," through the Spirit. And we just love You, Jesus. Amen.